Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
What's up, Valley Bible? excited. I'm always excited when I get a chance to share the gospel. It literally gets me pumped to a point where I'm backstage like, irritated, like I'm ready to go. It's so funny. But today's lesson comes, it birthed from my children, and that's why I like it. All you parents out there know that our children are little utensils, little things, sometimes demons, that God has put into our lives to teach us a lot about ourselves and a lot about the gospel. So before I get going, I want to open it with a story. These are the two kids. This is Hazel. And that's Ezra, and those are sweet faces. Don't let them fool you. They test me and my wife daily. They also have two younger siblings. Look how small they are. They have two younger siblings as well. So that's what our household looks like, you guys. But these two got into a little debate, which taught me so much, and it springboarded this whole lesson. So before I pray in and stuff, I want to share the story that my kids taught me, some lessons through a rock. And that's why I ended up entitling this message. So when you walk outside of our house from days and days of preschool, our kids have these rocks that they have wrote on, and they've just made little art pieces, right? And they're big. They're big, fat rocks. And we're going to the preschool one day, and my son sees the rocks, points at them, thinks they're real cool. My daughter, she's a little more advanced, she sees that they're cool, and she grabs them. She thinks, okay, I'm going to take this with me on the ride to preschool. I'm going to take this big, beautiful rock. We get in the car, and once again, parents understand my struggle. You know how it is to buckle these kids into their car seats. It is a hassle. So we get them all buckled in. Hazel's looking all happy with her rock, and then my son Ezra turns over and goes, oh, I like your rock. Hey, sissy, can I play with your rock? And my daughter responds in a very non-Christ-like manner, no, this is my beautiful rock. And of course, my son is heartbroken. His world has ended. He starts whining and goes, Daddy, but I want a rock. And I go, okay, son. Takes all the Jesus within me to get out of the car, go back to my porch and get him now this is the guy in the prideful side coming out of me. I see a big old boulder. And I'm like, all right, son, she doesn't want to share her rock with you. You're going to get this boulder. So I grab it, literally carry it over, and it's too big for him to even hold, to be honest. But he gets it, and he's looking at it. He's playing with it, of course, has the joy of the Lord on his face, because now he has not only the same rock, but a bigger rock. And what does my daughter do? She looks up. She's looking at her rock. She goes, brother, can I play with your rock? Let's trade. Smart child, right? Smart child. And my son shows me Jesus. My son goes, sure. I, on the other hand, pastor, chime in. No. She didn't want you to play with her rock. Why are you going to share your rock with her? And in that moment, I'm God be my witness, I stopped before I could finish the sentence. And God just pounded on my heart. What are you teaching your son? Just because my daughter didn't live to the standard that we are setting with Jesus Christ and sharing with others doesn't mean he can't. It was a word for my life too, because so often I can point out so-and-so's not doing that, so-and-so's not doing that. So why should I do it? Why should I be good? Why should I be nice to them? They never are nice to me. This is the new one. Why should I like and share their stuff? They never like and share my stuff. And God told me, just because they don't live with me as the foundation doesn't mean you can't. It will never matter anyone else's walk. So of course, the pastoral side of me had to have came out. Come like, okay, now I'm going to go to a whole word study of rocks and what they are and what they mean and this and that. And I came to this point in the Bible where a lot of us will know that it says Peter is the rock of the church. And for one, where I had to dive deep into this, it didn't sit right with me. And I wanted to know, how many of us actually, does that sit right with them? Is Peter the rock? Is Peter the foundation in which the church stands on? Because this is something that Jesus said, right? And I had to go deeper into it. I've never dug there. But I knew it didn't sit in my spirit. I'm like, wait, Jesus got it. Jesus has to be the foundation of the church, right? Jesus has to be. And I had to go through a lot of studying to understand how and why that is. And I want to share that part with you. But each time I preach, I ask God, what can the people get out of this? I wrote this down. I ask, and I usually share this at the end, but for some reason, it's on my heart to share it in the beginning. We can tonight, if you guys rock with me, if you guys stay with me, we can leave here with hope, excitement for what's to come, and a confidence in the grace that you have already received. I'm going to say that again. We can and we will leave here tonight with hope, excitement for what's to come, and a confidence in the grace, and the important part of this, of what you've already received. A lot of us are searching for that grace that Jesus already died for. Come on, I'm gonna go before I even start. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I am nothing without you. You know, I ask that you help me surrender as a vessel to deliver what it is you want to speak to us, your people, Father. We pray right now, your Holy Spirit, take over, God. Teach us, guide us, and lead us. We surrender to you and you alone. In Jesus' name, everyone said. So I'm going to start with where Peter is named that rock of the church. We're going to go to Matthew 16, 13 through 19. Let's take a look at this. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked, "Who do you say I am?" Stop right there. Go back before Peter answers. This is where I got turned off a lot from my walk with God, because Jesus to some people isn't what he is to others. What am I saying by that? Remember the story with my children. Some people make Christ the center of their foundation. They follow Christ wholeheartedly and they have a relationship with the Holy Spirit to God. And they follow that with conviction. And some people, Christ is a Sunday or a Wednesday. Some people, Christ is just opening the Bible sometimes. Some people, Jesus, a relationship with Jesus, he's just a prophet, or he's very wise, or he's a fad. Nowadays, you'll find people that, yeah, that going to join a church is the thing to do. And it's so much more than that, right? So in this argument, I see it in modern days when they're saying, some say you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist. They're saying he's all these things, but all those things fall short of who Jesus Christ was. We're going to look into what Jesus Christ was, but first let's see the answer that Peter gives. Go ahead. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by the Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven." That's from the mouths of our Messiah, of our Savior, that Peter is that rock. So I had to go into the word study of the rock, and I want to go ahead and put that up on your screens. Oh, here, yeah, modern definition of Messiah. I want to get into that first, because this is what I want to make sure we walk out of here knowing, that Jesus is our Messiah, not a fad, not John the Baptist, not someone reincarnated. Jesus is the Son of God. This is what Messiah is, a promised believer to the Jewish people, which we have been grafted into. That's our Savior, you guys. And the second, a leader or savior of a particular group or cause. That group or cause is you, your life, every sin that you've ever committed, your family members, everyone who cries out, who lives on this earth, who is called a son or daughter of God. Jesus Christ is the Savior, and there's no other answer. So then I go, then how is Peter the rock of the church? If Jesus Christ is Messiah, how is Peter rock of the church? These are the words that were used for rock. The first one, Petros. properly a stone or pebble. And this was the word that was used when Peter was called the rock of the church. A stone or pebble is also the same ones they use when they stone people. It's the same word for rock used. Now look at the word used for rock when Jesus Christ is called the rock in the Bible. Petra. This one is a feminine one, but it's a solid or native rock. When I read this, I want you guys to read this as I read this. The native stands out to me big because it's already there. It's already set in stone. It already was. And Jesus Christ was exactly that. But more importantly, it's a huge mass of rock. And when we are setting our foundation as a church, what do you choose? A huge mass. So I had to think and go into foundations. I'm in no type of engineer, contractor, any of that. I'm the furthest thing from that. Matter of fact, my wife is closer than I am at being any of those things. But when a tornado comes and swipes through and destroys whole cities and towns, one thing happens. Sometimes the foundation is still standing, right? But also sometimes the foundation even gets taken away. And when I was preparing this, my whole thought process was, oh, when we have our foundation in Jesus, it can't be blown away. When we have our foundation in Christ, it can't be messed with, which is very true. But in order to do that, you have to build a new foundation. The old foundation has to be literally swept away. All our original thoughts, what we know about this life, what we think about anything that we go through has to be willing. We have to be willing to lay it aside and make Jesus Christ our Savior. The difference I've seen between people trying to walk this life is some make Jesus Christ a tradition and some have a relationship with him. And what I saw in this story is the revelation. Jesus calls him the rock of the church when he says that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. If we have a personal relationship with Christ, the revelation of an individual, any, not me, not just one person out there, any individual having the revelation that Jesus Christ is Lord, that's the rock and the foundation in which the church will be built. It's for you guys. It's for you to understand that Jesus Christ is Lord and you have to put all other gods to the side. And that's what we're going to start getting into today. But I want to read this verse. I'm going to read this verse in Corinthians that uses the proper rock for Jesus Christ. So if you could pull that verse up for me. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that has accompanied them. And that rock was Christ, Christ Jesus. And the same word is used in that. So understand that the foundation of this church, the foundation of any church that you seek or visit, the foundation of your walk with God has to be Christ. This is where this goes wrong. This is what I want to ask. I have a first question. I want this point to go up, but I want this to go down in your notes too. What is your foundation? You really have to assess this and see if Jesus Christ is your foundation. For the longest, I thought it was, but I learned that it was pastors that I looked up to. Even before that, I learned that my foundation was on the worst one, finances. Are any of you guys like me? Well, like I was, I can say, I can't lie and say I'm still like this. But whether, if your bank account, if that STEMI hit, if the STEMI hit right, then you're a happy, joyful person. You just life seems a little better. You can handle situations a little easier because you know you have money in your bank account. And when your bank account is low, it seems like everything is going wrong. Doesn't just seem like your bank account is wrong, but you can't even get joyful when you leave the day because you're at zero. And for me, at times at negative. If anyone's ever been in that negative bank account struggle, it's a real one. But it affects how your day goes. If that is you, part of your foundation, instead of Jesus, you've put it in money. For me, women was a huge struggle, was a huge battle for me. If ladies were interested in me, I could have a good day. I was strong. I was confident. But if I'm getting zero attention, if I'm getting no attention, I'm depressed. I'm sad. Nobody likes me. And I can sit up here and act like I'm the only one, but I know you guys relate. I know you've been there. Husbands, is your wife showing you attention? Wives, is your husband showing you attention? And whether that changes or goes, it affects who you are, how you react to situations, your temper. It affects it all because too much of your foundation is not in Christ Jesus. Because if your foundation was in Christ Jesus, when you wake up each morning And Jesus reminds you who you are and reminds you of the calling that you are supposed to do, you're gonna have the confidence of Jesus Christ to walk, whether your husband shows you attention or not, whether the ladies are showing you attention or not, whether you have zero or $1,000 in your bank account, you will know exactly who you are. So my goal is to get you guys to understand that your circumstances this is gonna sound insensitive, absolutely nothing to me. I know there's people in here that lost family members. I know there's people in here who are struggling with finances right now, people in here who are going through divorce, people in here who are struggling with their kid going astray, people are struggling with children dying from Pastor Ron's post. Jesus is greater than all that. Jesus has overcome all that. He has given us the tools. He has given us perseverance. He's given us comfort. He has given it all to us. So we will not play the victim. We are going to rejoice in who Jesus Christ is. And I'm going to show you how. I'm not going to just tell you. I'm going to show you how. I want you to look at this verse. 1 Peter 1, 24 and 25. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. I'm going to use the NASB. I want to use that one. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory is like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flowers fall off. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you forever. You see, these other things that we put our foundations in, and I want to point out that they're that small rock. They're the pebble. This is what you look like. You have to see what you look like. When you put your trust, your foundation into something that is not everlasting, like Christ Jesus and the word of God, imagine me standing on a little pebble, big old tall J2. And I'm like, oh, when the storms of life hit me, I'm going to be good. No, you're going to be floating with the wind, buddy. You're not going to make it. The firm foundation, Jesus Christ is a firm foundation. You cannot be knocked off. Let's look at the classic story, the wise and the foolish builder, and let's break this down. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into action is like the wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it has a foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Who are you? Who are you in that story? We're in all these stories. Who are you? What have you built your foundation on? Now, going into this, God told me I was speaking to two different people. I was speaking to someone in here or some people in here who've never put their foundation in Christ, who've never said, Jesus Christ, I surrender. And he told me the other half, and it's a large percentage, myself is included, we've once put our foundation in Christ, and now it's in other things. Now it has drifted. When we were at our lowest, when we were broken, when we needed Christ most, we set him upon high, and we made him the number one priority in our lives. And he worked it out for us. And now, is he still up there? Or have you put other things in place? Those are the two types of people I'm talking to, and we're going to get that together today. We're going to reset that foundation in Christ, and that's what's going to rebuild the church. It's going to rebuild our faith. It's what's going to rebuild our families. So this rock, this pebble of Peter, is the guy that God, Jesus Christ, chose to rebuild his church. And when you think about Peter and who he is, let's think about Peter. And this is where I say you're going to get hope. When you see that God would choose a guy like Peter to be that representative, to say that's the rock of which I'm going to build my church, his faith, we have to think about who Peter was. There's some great stories about Peter, but it's going to seem like a Peter bashing session because everything you read about Peter in the Bible, he's messing up again. I love Peter. Anyone relate to Peter? Yes. Like, y'all messing up, but remember Peter, God. Can't get me. Sometimes it's like that, right? So Peter, these are the stories that I love, and I'm not going to go through them on the scripture, but when Jesus is being crucified, about to be crucified, and we're about to go into that, VBF Easter, make sure you come. We got something great planned for you guys. Right before he's going to get crucified, what happens? Peter shows his fighter side, the angry, the I'm going to defend my Christ. I'm going to defend my Savior. I'm dedicated to him. Therefore, if you come and arrest him, sword out, chopping ears off. Some of us guys in here are like, yes, the Bible says I can fight. But then, of course, Peter gets checked. Jesus is like, Peter, calm down, man. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. You can't do that. Then one of the worst things that Peter's, that he's known for, right? The deny, everybody knows he denied Christ three times, right? Just disrespectfully. But I want you guys to understand the relationship and the betrayal that had to take place during this time. So Peter had been walking with Jesus, wholeheartedly following him, one of the most vocal of saying how much he loved Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, knowing this, for one, he washed Peter's feet. Washed his feet as he's about to tell him, hey, you're going to betray me three times. But I'm still getting down as a servant to show you that this is what you guys must do to move forward. And Peter, of course, like all of us probably in this building right now, are like, no way will I deny Jesus Christ ever. We have to get, this is going to be weird to say, we have to get that thought out of our head. We have to humble ourselves, church. If you don't think you're Judas or Peter and you will sell out Jesus in a second, then you've missed the mark. It says we are born sinful. We're born selfish. Don't let your pride tell you that you love Jesus more than that person next to you. If you don't wake up and say, Holy Spirit, come right now and help me follow Jesus wholeheartedly, you're going to miss it. We need the helper. If we didn't need a helper, why did God send it? We have to rely on the Holy Spirit to help us. We have to rely. That's where we'll find the boldness. That's where we'll find that our foundation is secure, when you know you wake up and the Holy Spirit is who is helping you. You see, when we've set our foundation in Jesus, when we've set it firm, when Jesus is the focal point of everything, life starts changing. You start living a little differently. When Jesus is your foundation, you live by faith. Not by the sight of your bank account. You live by faith. I have two examples that were my personal experience with this. First one is how I got to this very place, how Pastor Ron hired me to dance worship for kids. You guys, I've been serving under Tom Hollenbeck, who I believe is right back there. And he was teaching the youth. The Connect was the junior high ministry. It was a sweet time in that spiritual walk. I think we all have those times. And I remember just sitting there and I would watch him do this. He would go and he would do the tech, then he would set the lights up, then he would go up, do worship, and he would preach the message. And then after the message, he would talk to us and tell us to stay back and watch the sermon, because we serve two services. And I'm like, dang, that's amazing what this guy does for the Lord. So talented, right? And I was around him, Cody, Shane, all those people during this time, right? And God told me one day during a prayer night, you're going to be a pastor here. You got to remember, I'm J2. I'm not even J2 yet. I'm Justin. Coming from addicted to pills, addicted to ecstasy pills, addicted to alcohol, just had transitioned out of that, just starting to get to know this fallen Jesus thing, just selling out to it. And God goes, you're going to be that. My very first response was, God, I don't know anything about those lights that he does. That dude can sing and teach, and I can't pick up an instrument and try and make anything beautiful come out of it. And I remember sitting there going, telling God how he can, there's no way you could use me. That I looked at everyone who had worked at this place, and I looked at how talented they were, and I still am a firm believer that I'm the least talented person at VBF. Firm believer. And I looked at it, and I went, God, how are you going to do that for me? And he said, trust me. He said, trust me. And I continued. I served. I wholeheartedly just suck after God and try to find out how to get closer to him, because I knew that was my weapon. My weapon is this. These people are talented, but I'm going to get to know God. I'm going to be like this with them. I'm going to be like this. And that is everyone's weapon. It's all of us. There's nothing that can hold us down. So I continue to do that. And then one day, Pastor Tom calls me and says, hey, We got this idea of kids jumping and dancing in worship. Do you think it's something you could do? And I went, of course I could do that. I was just jumping and dancing in a club a couple years ago. I could do this for some kids. That's how the story goes. No, true story. But it's by faith. I couldn't see it. But when Christ is who you're focused on, you don't have to. You don't have to see it. It's going to happen. That's what faith is. Second one, I've actually shared this story before, but I just love this story. I love going to this story. When I was looking for my house, some of you guys know this story. It was a red Jeep story. So the red Jeep, I kept seeing a red Jeep, and I don't know if you guys have ever been in this before, but I could drive all the time. I didn't see red Jeep. And one day I'm sitting there, I'm pulling out my driveway, and the red Jeep stands out. And it stood out to me, so I go, God, yes, you're going to give me a red Jeep. I'm hyped for the red Jeep. And I go, God, if you're trying to tell me about this red Jeep, you give me some confirmations. I'm driving, and of course, I see three red Jeeps on the way to this church. And I'm like, God is good, y'all. I'm going to be pushing a red Jeep by the end of this week. Little did you know, I just got engaged, and I've been praying, God, you have to make a way. You have to make a way for me and my wife to live, because we are engaged already. I need a place to stay. I'm still at my dad's house. What am I doing? Living by faith is what I was doing. But I'm like, okay, this is going to figure this out. Come to find out, you need down payments to get into anywhere. Didn't know this. New to this adult thing. I pull up. Red Jeep parked right next to me where I usually park at the church. And I'm like, okay, this has got to be my red Jeep story. Long story short, that Wednesday night, I'm in the Extreme, the kids' building, and a lady walks up to me and says, hey, are you looking for a house? And I go, yeah. And she goes, well, part of my ministry is young couples. I help them out get into a place. And I said, what's the down payment? She said, whatever it is that you can pay. And I go, wow, hallelujah, the church is amazing. So I get into this house, no down, no. Well, I paid something down, but it was considered nothing. And I had never met this lady before, but I walk out, we're leaving church, and what does she jump into? The red Jeep. And I'm like, go! Part of me was so happy, and the other part of me was like, dang, so I'm not getting a Jeep? Like, that's tough. But it's living by faith. That's the way it is. That's the way we live. Pastor Ron has taught us this. You live by faith. You talk and hear from God. You hear from the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And this is what Peter did, and this is where it's going to get real, and I want you guys to get some hope in this. You guys remember when Peter walked on water? Look at this. Matthew. In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. I love how casually it puts that Jesus was just strolling on the sea, right? When his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, proper response, and said, it is a ghost. Another proper response. And they cried out in fear. I love that. I go, in teaching youth, I love seeing that because it makes it not so crazy. If you see a person walking on water, you should go, whoa, what is happening? Not, oh, normal stuff. So I love that the Bible does this. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on water and came towards Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said, you have little faith, why do you doubt? I want to word this correctly. Me as a man, when something goes wrong, even though I can't do anything with the hammer, my response is to fix it. My response is to, what can I do to make this better? What can I do to make my wife either stop hurting? What can I do to make my kids' life better? For me in ministry, what can I do to make this ministry better if something's falling apart, right? You put it on yourself. When trials hit, this is for us when our foundation isn't in Christ, and this is going to be a big lesson for you to find out if your foundation is in Christ. This will answer it for you. When the trial hits, when it hits the fan, when the bank account goes to zero, when you're in that argument with your wife, when you're struggling with your kids, when you're struggling with your self-worth, when you're struggling with who you are, when you're at your lowest of lows, is your immediate response, fix it, wrong, or go to prayer. That will tell you. I'm not here to put anyone on the spot, but that will tell you. And I have times in life when it's prayer instantly. But I have times in life where I fix, tweak, try to do everything until it doesn't work, and then I go to prayer. And that's when I realize I'm not living by faith. It's time to live by faith. And this was the word God gave me for someone out there from this story. Stop trying to fix it and fix your eyes on Jesus. Stop trying to fix the problem and fix your eyes on Jesus. You see, when Peter's walking on this water, he's perfectly fine. He's thriving. He's thriving, thriving, thriving. And this is not just a story back in the day. I'm going to talk about myself and some of you out here. Jesus has done it for us. You're walking. You're good. You're thriving. You're doing things that you never thought you could do. You're praying for people. Maybe you got saved, and now all of a sudden your family's getting saved. All types of good things are happening. You get the new job you were looking for. I don't know what it is that Jesus Christ did for you, but you're walking just fine. You're walking on water because Jesus Christ is good, and he can do that for anybody. And then you took your eyes off of Jesus, and you're at that point, and it's time to look at him. It's time to get back to him. What does Peter do? Instantly. Peter is walking grace, instantly falls, takes his eyes off Jesus, falls down. Lord, save me. Can we be humble enough to say, Lord, save me? I don't know if you're that Christian who's been going through the motions, or you're a new person who's stubborn and prideful, and you're watching or you're listening, and you've never just said, all right, Jesus, I can't do this. I need your help. I need a helper. It's time to do it right now. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, we can literally walk on water. Don't go home and get in your pool and start trying. You can do all things. There's no stopping you. That is what it's about. But I want you to see this. For those of you who have gotten to the point that I got to in life, where I'm like, God, I've known your goodness. I've tasted how amazing you are, and I can't just seem to follow you correctly. I know you are good, God. I know you are the God in heaven, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he died for my sins, but I just can't follow you wholeheartedly. Ever been there? Think about when Peter, we're going to go back. He had just denied Jesus before his crucifixion. They said Peter. They're at the trial, and they're like, that's that guy that was with Jesus. That's him. That guy rocks with Jesus. That guy, he calls him Lord. Peter goes, nah, wasn't me. And they go, no, surely you're one of his disciples. Nah, wasn't me. I'm telling you, you were with him when we arrested him. Nah, wasn't me. Grr. Crow goes off and his whole life flashes before his eyes because he realizes, oh God, Jesus was right. Shocker, right? And then Jesus dies, gets crucified, and he rises. What does he do when he rises? He comes back to his disciples. Now I want you guys to all put yourself in Peter's shoes. You deny the Christ 3 times. And now he comes back showing how powerful of a God he is. You got to look him in the face. You have to look him in the face. You think Peter, that rock of the church, hasn't been where you are at? You think Peter hasn't been in a place where he says, I'm not worthy of Jesus. I'm not worthy of his grace. I'm not worthy to know you. I've denied you in front of my friends. I've denied you in front of my family. Your word says, if you deny me, I'll deny you. I'm undeserving. I'm unworthy. This is what he tells his disciples when he comes back. John 20:19-23. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. And when he said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. Jesus comes back, and I can only think in human form of when I, there's a story of our friends. This one friend, we get into a fight with another crew. And one of my friends sat in the truck the whole time. And what did we do when we got out of the scuffle? Everyone's wiping off the dirt, blood on their faces. I'm like, bro, where were you? Like, you didn't have our backs. Where were you? Forget you, man. And like, our friendship was a little weird for a small bit, right? So that's where I think. I think Jesus thinking about, Peter, you denied me, bro. Where were you? But that's human love. Love of Christ is so much more. All he is worried about, he says, peace be with you, first thing to his disciples. He says, I'm going to send you out with a helper. He's going to send you to build his church. So now you have no more excuses. I don't care where you're at in your walk with God. Christ wants to build the church. He wants to build the church upon your relationship with Jesus. You having an individual revelation that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you can come to that, if you can come to that and accept him as a Savior, as a Lord, as a Father, that his way only, if you accept that, you're walking in your calling, but you become part of the rock. You become a part of the rock that holds the church together. It's one of those things where he can do it without you, but he can't do it without you. He needs us. He needs us to walk in our callings. He needed me to dance with kids one day. I didn't know how big it would be. What does he need you to do? What does he need you to do when you're denying it because you've set your foundation upon things that are worthless? Because you found your worth in the things that can't help you. Jesus Christ is the answer. It's what's going to save you. It's what's going to set your life back on track. And I keep saying back on track because I know a lot of us in here are already churched. But it's time to start walking in it. It's time to start having revival at VBF. It's time to start really, really experiencing the Holy Spirit because not we're on fire. All of you guys are on fire. Look at my next verse. God wants you to help rebuild his church. Now look at this verse. And then we'll go back to that point. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You have to think about how weird that is. When you encounter trials of any type, consider it all joy. I'm going to let you know right now, you will not be able to do that without the helper of the Holy Spirit. But that is it. When you find Jesus, when you set him as your rock and your foundation, you are standing on something firm, on a solid rock. That's what that word says. On a solid rock that cannot be shaken. And it doesn't matter what high or low in life you hit, you will be a solid rock. You will be able to endure. People will wonder. I love that one of my favorite compliments of the kids is that they think their youth pastors are millionaires. They really do. Because the people that they see are millionaires are genuinely happy most of the time when they see them. And they think we're like that. Little do they know. But it's a compliment. It's a compliment because we walk with the joy of the Lord. And I know there's some of you out there that walk in it, but more importantly, all of us out there walking in it, it's time to let these people know who do not know that they can be joyful in every circumstance, that they can find a joy. One example before I close, my stepmom passed away of COVID. She had other complications. We knew COVID would be a struggle if she got it. Great loss to our family, one of the strongest women I know. But through it, my relationship with my dad got tighter. Through it, the family started a group text that was not happening before, but now it's going. Through it, her daughter has stepped up to be one of the strongest women of God, carrying on her spirit. Through it, the family came together, and I got to see people I hadn't seen in so long helping my dad out. Consider it all joy. You can find that. I know you're out there. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you're out there. And you can't find joy in your situation. If you can't find joy, find Jesus, and he'll bring the joy. I'm going to pray, but I want to leave you with this. Find out if you've set your foundation in Christ. And if you haven't put Jesus first, when these people come up here to pray with you at the end of service, when you have people around you at the end of service, tell them to pray for you. Tell them to pray for you that you put some things above God, that you put some things before God. It's time you can lay it down. God built his church upon Peter for a reason. He was one of the most flawed disciples I can think of. And he said, you flawed people are who the world needs. You know how many people need to hear your struggle, need to hear your battles with Christ, need to hear your wrestling with the Spirit, your wrestling with faith, your wrestling with belief, your wrestling with hanging on to hope so they can have a little bit of hope? You won't share that boldness if you don't know Jesus. You won't share the truth if you don't know him. I will end with the only talent I have. It's knowing Jesus Christ. And it's gotten me so far in life, and it can take you even further. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Know Jesus. It's the most cliche but correct answer there is. Jesus can save you. And I hate seeing people struggle and hurt because I was there. I was suicidal when I came to Christ. I hate seeing people struggle and hurt when the solution is lay it all down. The solution isn't work hard and do these things. The solution is stop. Let Jesus work. Let Jesus do what he already did. That's for someone out there. Lay it down. Don't leave here the same. Leave here different. If you're watching, leave here different. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We ask right now, Father, that we all as a whole could refocus our lives and set it upon you. That any situation we face, we're going to involve you first. We're going to involve you first. And if anyone out here does not know you, Father, put it on their hearts. Don't let them walk out of this building without having an encounter with you, without being prayed for and surrendering to you. We thank you for how far you've brought us as a church, and we know you have even more in store. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, thank you.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.